empower us to lead like Jesus, the humble servant of the Lord. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see your word. Open our ears to hear your voice. Open up our hearts so that our love overflows, and open our minds to have the same mind as Christ Jesus, the humble servant of God. In the name of Jesus, and all God's people say, amen.
Our scripture reading today is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And thank you, Julie, for reading that. I wonder how many of you consider yourselves leaders. Now, I can feel your defenses starting to build. I can feel the walls starting to rise within you as you push forward a protest. Who, me? A leader? Are you kidding me? Are you looking at me? Leadership? No way. Next of all, you're probably going to ask me to be an elder or deacon or something like that. Some of you may perceive yourselves less as a leader and more as a follower. What about it? Do you consider yourselves a leader? Raise your hands if you do. Not a lot of hands going up. Sometimes we don't think of ourselves as leaders because we either have preconceptions or misconceptions of what a leader really is. Sometimes we think of leadership as a position of leadership, like the head coach of a football team. Look at this guy. He's got a whistle and he's not afraid to use it. He's ready to bark out orders. He's ready to call the shots. He's ready to organize the defense. He's ready to organize the offense. He's ready to make a strategic plan in order to defeat whatever team shows up on game day. This type of leader, for him, it's my way or the highway. And if you don't like it, he'll cut you from the team or trade you off to Houston. Of course, there are other leaders in other fields. Other people may pop into your heads. Maybe the principal of the high school, or the CEO or CFO of a Fortune 500 company, the mayor of Rochester, a drill sergeant in the army. And don't forget, there are leaders of position in the churches too. Ministers like me, elders like Joe, deacons like Rex, chairpersons of various committees. There are leaders left and right. However, there's a different way to think about leadership and leaders. According to Elaine May, a leader is a person of influence. Did you catch that? A leader is anyone who has influence, a man or a woman that influences someone else. Robert Clinton informs us, leadership is a dynamic process in which a man or a woman with God-given capacity influences a specific group of people towards God's purposes for the group. A leader has influence. A leader makes an impact on someone else. Perhaps that understanding changes your vote. Let's try again. How many of us are leaders? Still, not very many hands going up. At the seminar in early September, Elaine May insisted that we are all leaders. Left and right, forward and back, we're all leaders. And she told us a story about her friend in the big city. Basically, this friend was upset about the homelessness in her city for 9 years. On her drive to work every day, she passed by homeless on the street corner holding up cardboard signs, asking for help. It made her angry. It got her upset. Why doesn't somebody do something, anything, to help all these hurting people? So she called up the mayor's office to complain. And they invited her to come speak directly to the mayor. Do you think she was expecting that? No. What a surprise. And when she got to the mayor's office, she imagined confronting the mayor. What are you going to do about this issue of homelessness in your city? But during the conversations, the tables were turned upside down. The mayor suggested pulling together several other people and organizations with similar concerns. The conversation resulted in a coalition of multiple organizations, including that woman and her church. Who would have thought that she was really a leader? Her passion was transformed into a purpose. There are leaders left and right in this church. No matter how big or small you are, no matter how old or young you are, you have influence on someone. Mothers and fathers influence their daughters and sons. Grandmas and grandpas influence their grandkids. And even little kids have influence. Think of kindergartners. Their kid brothers look up to them. They want to follow in the footsteps of that five-year-old. You are leaders. I think of a few Sundays ago when Dave and Cheryl's grandkids came to church and they passed the microphone around. And one of the grandkids grabbed the microphone and said, "My name is Bruce, and I want to learn about God." What leadership! No wonder everyone clapped. No wonder the book of Isaiah says, "A little child will lead them." No wonder Jesus said, "The kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Even little kids can lead. Leaders have influence. Leaders make a difference. Now it's just a matter of channeling all that leadership energy in the right direction for good instead of evil. Now we just need to find a good, no, make it great role model for leaders. Who can we find as a role model for leaders? Who is the leader par excellence? Excuse me for using fancy words. I think that you know the name of the foremost leader. The Apostle Paul certainly did. In fact, in our Bible passage today, Paul held him forth as an example for the early church. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. The actual translation there in the Greek is slave. Taking on the very nature of a slave or servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. The emphasis here is mainly on the humility of Jesus. Jesus was a humble leader. a humble leader with the compassionate heart of a servant. Henry Nouwen considers it the selfless, not selfish, the selfless way of Christ. He considers the selfless nature of Jesus to be extremely countercultural to the way of the world, which is extremely selfish. Instead of being upwardly mobile and trying to get ahead, Jesus took the path of downward mobility. Being the very Son of God in the throne of heaven, Jesus descended and was incarnated. In other words, the Word of God from heaven became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He was flesh and blood. He walked on this earth. He was a person. And he was born in a manger. I know it's not Christmas, but we could talk about Christmas all time of year. And think of his humble birth. He was born in a feeding trough for animals, and there were animals all around. And he was born to poor parents who really didn't have much to their name. And when he grew up, he didn't have a whole lot of money either. He said, "Foxes have dens, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place, no place to put his head." But Jesus had influence. Think of the large crowds of people who heard him speak. Think of the feeding of the 5,000, these large crowds that listened to him, that were fed both body and soul. Think of the disciples that were just soaking up every word he had to say like a sponge. He had influence on those 12 guys. He had influence on many others. But the downward trajectory of Jesus reaches its climax in the cross of Christ. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, crosses decorate almost every Protestant church. And many Catholic churches too. You see crosses all over the place. You see crosses lifted high inside our sanctuaries and crosses lifted high outside the building so that people that drive by on Long Pond Road can see that we are Christians because we have the cross in plain view. We lift high the cross. We exalt the cross. This is something glorious to us because it represents the forgiveness of sins. But dying on a cross was a lowly death. A shameful death, a humiliating death that happened to the lowest of the low. Think of capital punishment. The cross was like the electric chair. The cross was like the hangman's noose. The cross was like the firing squad. People were put to death by the Romans, anyone who objected to their rule and their reign, especially on the edges of the Roman Empire. It was a humiliating way to die. Henry Nouwen sees it this way. God chose to manifest the fullness of divine love in Jesus. His life led to a humiliating death outside the walls of the city. Now, Jesus leads by example. He laid down his life for the good of humanity. And he tells us to do the same. Not literally, but he tells us to lay down our lives, to give up our self-interest so that others may thrive. He went to the cross with the expressed intention of following the divine will. He thought not about himself. He thought about you. He thought about me. That's the inspirational way of the cross. Jesus is a selfless leader. Jesus is a humble leader. Jesus is a servant leader. In addition, Jesus is an authentic leader since his words and his actions line up. He's consistent. You ever heard that saying, do as I do, or do as I say, not as I do? That doesn't make any sense, does it? Because people's words and actions need to line up. Not do as I say, not as I do. Do as I do as I say, do both. And so with Jesus, we can look at his representative actions, like the cross or the washing of the feet in the upper room, that humble service in which he did this task of the lowly. We can look at those actions, but we can also look at his words because his words and his actions lined up. He was an authentic leader. Jesus spoke challenging words to his disciples. He said to them, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Did you hear that? To be Jesus' disciple, you need to deny yourself. It's no longer about self-fulfillment or self-satisfaction, but about serving God and about serving other people. Doesn't that get you excited? Serving God and serving other people. To be Jesus' disciple, you must take up your cross. This is not a way of upward mobility. It's the way of downward mobility. It's the selfless way of Christ. It's a sacrifice, which we know it's never easy. Overall, the leadership of Jesus calls people to follow Jesus. But what does it mean? What does it mean to you to follow Jesus? Maybe different people have different ideas what it means to follow Jesus. Earlier, I mentioned the movement downward, but there's another movement that's taking place, a movement away from the old way of life and a movement toward the new way of life, away from selfish behaviors about vain conceit and towards serving others and being humble. It's a movement in a very positive direction. It's a movement in the Jesus way. Who is called to lead like Jesus? We are, because our leadership makes an impact on this world. As leaders, we have influence. And I'm not just talking to one or two of you people that raised your hands. I'm talking to everybody. As leaders, you all, if I was in the South, have influence. You can make an impact. Leaders move away from the old way of life and move to the new way of life. Why? Because they realize people are watching. And a picture is worth a thousand words. And if you sit there and talk the talk, you better walk the walk, because people are watching, not just listening. Leaders are united with Christ. That's their current status. So Paul strongly encourages believers in Philippi to move away from selfish ambition, to move away from vain conceit. Christ's followers in that major Roman city move towards humility, valuing others above themselves. Now, just a point of distinction here. I'm not trying to tear down your self-image and say that you are nothing and others are everything. That's not true. We love one another as we love ourselves, but we treat others with a certain perspective that we value their wants and desires above our own. That's a way to live that's the Jesus way. Disciples move away from valuing their own interest, but move towards treasuring, and I use that word with intention, to treasure like gold and diamonds the interest of other people. I love the way the message captures this. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Holy Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love one another. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside. Help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. And I don't mean to beat you up with this, because I think we're already doing a lot of this here at Lakeview. Not to pat ourselves on the back, but what a lot of food there is in the lobby. We just had the August challenge. Now September's food overflows. There's three baskets full, and those baskets full, I hope you have good muscles, because they're going to be quite heavy to lift into Linda's vehicle. It's going to take a lot of gumption. We lend a helping hand. We feed the hungry. We do what Jesus would want us to do, not because we're trying to earn our salvation. Jesus already accomplished that. But as a way of saying thank you to the one who cares, we care too. I will admit that leading like Jesus can be intimidating. He doesn't set the bar low. He definitely sets it up here. But as leaders, we strive to lead like Jesus. But he doesn't leave us to our own devices. He doesn't leave us alone. He is with us. He gives us resources. He equips us. He gives us his Holy Spirit to energize us and activate us towards the common good. Now, this past week, I did something a little bit different than I haven't done in the past. I don't know why, but instead of just reading the commentaries and studying the Bible, I listened to two sermons based on Philippians 2. One by Mary Holst, who maybe one other person in this congregation knows, and another person named Trig Johnson. And I'd like to share with you a few words from Trig, which I thought were spot on. He provided this solid gold quote: "To be in Christ is to share Christ's mind. The gift is never divorced from the gift giver. The mind of Christ is the source of the attitude of Christ. There's a direct relation to our mind and our attitude. Attitude is this settled way of thinking that is reflected in our behavior." There's a lot there, but I really love that line, "The gift is never divorced from the gift giver." In other words, Christ gives us this gift of salvation, but he is in us. He is with us. He is there to empower us on our personal and corporate journeys. The gift is never divorced from the gift giver. In other words, Jesus, the humble servant, will equip you to serve. Jesus, who laid down his life, will equip you to lay down your life for the sake of other people. Overall, our perspective should mirror the attitude of Christ. Remember, all of you are leaders. All of you have some degree of influence. All of you can make an impact on somebody. We can all lead by the imitation of Christ. For Christ gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can be transformed into humble servant leaders. Now, leading like Jesus makes sense. Leading away from something selfish and leading towards something selfless makes sense. But now what? Where do we lead? And in what direction do we go? I want you to consider three categories when it comes to leadership. Number one is call, number two is congregation, and number three is context. First, call. What is God calling us to do? And where is God calling us to go? Second, congregation. Who are we in Christ? And what gives our church energy or enthusiasm? Third, context. Who are the people out there in the community, down on Long Pond, over on Edgemere, over in Hilton, over in Greece? Who are the people in the neighborhoods surrounding our church? And what are their physical and spiritual needs? God activates us to mission. He transforms us into people with a purpose. And the days are over when we could sit on our hands and just sit idly by. For we are called to be somebody, and we are called to do something. Simply put, God calls leaders to lead. I think of Matthew West's song, "Do Something." Listen to these important lyrics. "I woke up this morning, saw a world full of trouble. Thought, how'd we ever get so far down? How's it ever going to turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven, and I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me. So I shook my fist at heaven and said, God, why don't you do something? Then God said, I did. I created you. If not us, then who? If not me and you, right now it's time for us to do something. If not now, then when? Will we see an end to all the pain? It's not enough to do nothing. It's time for us to do something. Isn't that an incredible song? It's challenging and inspiring at the very same time. But it can be rather intimidating. But let's seek comfort in the encouraging words of the Bible. Let's remember that the downward path of Christ was followed by an upward trajectory. The same one who came to Jerusalem, who was sentenced to die, who died on the cross, rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. And Paul talks about that upward trajectory at the end of Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore, God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. If that isn't uplifting, I don't know what is. That is the God we serve. He's the humble servant lifted high. He's the leader over all leaders. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say,